This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. Watch the Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Astonishing Legends Network.
It's Flashback Friday, and you know what that means. A classic episode of Scared All the Time's fan-favorite bonus show, New Fear Unlocked, is out of the vault and on the main feed. This episode originally aired on Patreon June 5th, 2025, but is being played by you right now.
Disclaimer: this episode includes the usual amount of adult language and graphic discussions you've come to expect around here. But in the event it becomes an unusual amount, expect another call from me.
You can't take a week off, not when the people need content. So it's time to fill the trough with something halfway decent. That only sort of rhymed, which is about halfway to decent. So we're doing fine. And you're doing fine. And now it's time for
Hey everybody, welcome back to New Fear Unlocked, your bi-weekly episode of Scared All the Time that is not called Scared All the Time.
It's true. We don't know what we were doing. We were babies then. The first episode of this didn't even have a name. It's why the fucking opening and end credits are all crazy.
It drove Ed up a wall. I'm glad we settled on a good name. I think you guys like it. I think at this point, you guys know the drill. This is sort of a grab bag type of bonus episode situation where you get all of the Chris and Ed you know and love from Scared All the Time covering something with even less research and even more unfounded opinions.
But also less ums.
Also less ums. That's true. So for this week, I wanted to turn to our email box, but I didn't want to just read a bunch of emails, although we do have plenty of emails that we will get to eventually, many of which we will read in a bonus episode of the show. But this particular one I felt needed a little bit extra attention because it leads to an article with a crazy story that is based on an episode. Well, the story is not based on an episode that we did, but the email came in response to an episode that we did. So the subject of this email is an eye-popping meth story you missed.
Okay.
From Jeremy. Hey guys, love the show. I just finished the meth episode and I was simply aghast.
Oh shit.
We never want to leave anyone aghast.
No. Well, or we do.
Well, we do, but yeah. Not aghast in this sense, which is that the most horrifying meth story he'd ever heard wasn't mentioned.
Oh, well, I'm sorry, pal.
Listen.
It's a lot of meth stories.
Jeremy, we asked everyone in the entire world for their craziest meth story.
No, we only asked everyone yours. Whose name started from A through the letter before J.
I.
We only asked people from A through I, and we stopped before we get into J, so we didn't come to you. Sorry.
Well, I'll tell you what, though. India's...
Did she have any stories?
No, but that's the only listener I can think of with an I.
No, we have Ibis. I never remember how to say her name.
Oh, yes. Okay, so that's two.
That they she
both,
had no
they
no
both
meth
had
stories.
Great ones.
Oh, shit. I'm right. I'll take it back.
Anyway, Jeremy tells us that the most horrifying meth story he's ever heard wasn't mentioned. He says, I was living in Greenville, South Carolina back in 2018 and heard about this girl in Anderson, South Carolina about an hour away.
I'm going to check out Greenville. Is that where they do all the... fucking what's his name movies? Is that Greenville? Where does he live? No, he lives in Charleston, South Carolina.
Who are we talking about?
Is anyone who works in the industry over there? I feel like it's all Charleston, South Carolina. So Greenville might be nice.
Yeah, I don't know South Carolina at all.
Neither do I.
This woman, this girl, scratched...
Who's not in Greenville. She's in Anderson.
She's in Anderson.
Like the window people.
She scratched her own fucking eyes out while on meth.
Oh, shit.
Jeremy says, here's the most recent and up-to-date article I could find on it. Enjoy. And oh boy, Jeremy, enjoy we did, and now enjoy all of the listeners of No Fear Unlocked are about to
not enjoy it. Is it gross? It sounds like it's going to be fucking
Headline,
gross.
Woman who ripped out her eyes while high on meth recalls, quote, holding my eyeballs in my hands.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess you'd toss them if you weren't, but
no. No, you don't want to. It's like when you got to put the tooth in milk. If your tooth gets knocked out, are you supposed to put it in milk?
You do put it in milk. Yeah, I don't think you put eyeballs in milk. I think the tooth can maybe go back in or something.
Can you imagine if you brought a glass of milk to a hospital, you're screaming, hand over your face, and you walk, you're like, ah, and the lady looks in the cup and two eyeballs float up?
Yeah, that's how you know they're done, like in Yoki. They float to the top. Yeah, I guess she would, what was the exact quote that she remembers?
She recalls holding my own eyeballs in my hands. Subhead, Kaylee Muthart is sharing more details about the horrific day she caused her own blindness.
Wow.
There's a photo of her. I think it's a before and after.
Well, does she have eyes in one?
She has eyes in
it's
the one
probably before.
Before
and after.
The after, she's in a hospital bed with her eyes closed. They look swollen. And the caption says, Kaylee Muthart has prosthetic eyeballs after ripping her eyes out while high on meth.
They looked pretty good for like Columbo. He had one eye, right? Sammy Davis Jr. had one eye.
Wow, I never knew.
I think these people, I think the glass eye game has been real pretty good for a while, but it doesn't move when your other eye moves, so you always kind of notice it, but she has no fucking eyes, so.
This article opens with a warning, graphic depiction of self-harm. So if you're sensitive to that, probably
don't go to the show notes.
Maybe just go back and listen to your favorite episode of Scared All the Time instead of the rest of this episode.
The only thing I started to say earlier, but you know, we do it together, so I didn't want to like shout over you, is she recalls holding her eyes. But honestly, it's something I would like to see. Like, not me, her eyes, but like, it sucks that you can't see what your eyes look like if you ripped both your eyes out.
Correct.
You can't see what it looks like in your hand holding your own eye.
No, but
just do one next time.
I can imagine it.
Yeah, it's probably gross.
I can imagine what it probably looks like.
I don't know. Eyes are crazy. Eyes are the craziest things we got, dude.
They really are.
Like, they're magnificent and should not be ripped out of your own head.
No, leave them where they are. This article begins with the graphic description warning, and then the young woman who tore her own eyes out while high on meth is sharing more details about that day to warn others about the dangers of the addictive drug.
Yeah, wear goggles the next time you take it.
Kaylee Muthart was 20 when she says she had a psychotic episode while on methamphetamine. The drug, she says, made her think, quote, everything would end abruptly and everyone would die if I didn't tear out my eyes immediately.
Well, she was right about one thing. Well, sight would end abruptly.
You know, I'll tell you this, Kaylee. Maybe you were right.
Oh, do you think she saved us all?
Maybe she saved us all.
Shit, in that case, you're a real one.
I mean,
thank
we don't
you.
Know. Maybe she tapped into something. Maybe.
I guess we'll never know. Like, she Jack Bauer'd her eyes
out
for us.
She did what she was told or what she thought she had to do, and maybe she was right.
God, that's. Fuck. I hate this. I hate
I made Ed speechless.
Yeah, this is crazy. Because what if that was the case?
Well, let's find out more about Kaylee here. Kaylee Muthart from Anderson, South Carolina says during high school, she often smoked marijuana on the weekends, managing to maintain straight A grades and even earning a spot on the National Honor Society.
Well, real Chris Kalari type.
At first, Muthart says she avoided harder drugs because addiction ran in her family. But when she was 19, she says a friend gave her a joint laced with meth. Now,
not cool,
if that's true. Sounds a lot to me like something someone who tried meth and didn't want to admit they just tried meth.
Yeah, they were like,
say.
I was tricked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although, to be fair, I had a friend, this isn't a meth story, but I did have a friend trick me into drinking Everclear.
Yeah, you told that once on the
yeah,
show.
They said it was vodka and I did a shot. So people do it.
People are creeps.
Not unheard of.
Monsters, in fact.
The high Kaylee experienced made her feel closer to God, she says, and in just a year, she went from smoking meth to injecting it.
Yeah.
As we learned in the episode, you can go downhill even faster than that. I feel like
a year is pretty good.
She took the slow train.
Well, that's because this person started as an honor roll student.
That's yeah, she had further to fall. Her mother had finally convinced her to go to rehab when Muthart took a larger than normal dose of meth.
Oh, she's one of those, like, I'm doing it one last time
yep,
before I go
literally
in.
Literally, it says a final high before quitting the drug.
That sucks. That sucks.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. Don't start.
While she says her memory of that day in 2018 is foggy, she recalls walking along train tracks to go to church.
What? There was no roads to your church?
There's no roads. She recalls hitchhiking and receiving help from bums to find her way to the church.
I have to take this bindle of cash for the collection.
A friend she'd been staying with So she was homeless and probably staying with a real creep.
Wait, no, I'm sorry. You added that part about her with the hobos?
I added that part.
She wasn't hitchhiking.
She was walking along train tracks.
Yeah, but now that doesn't mean you're homeless.
No, but who, I mean, this whole story seems, you're walking along train tracks to go to church. Like you said, where are the roads to this? How did you usually get to church?
I don't know. Maybe there was the fastest.
Your family wasn't with you?
Not anymore. Not since she became a meth addict.
Where is this church?
It's
the Church of the Golden Arm.
Yeah.
Out deep in the woods where you inject meth.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I guess maybe the church has a stop on the route. You know,
she remembers walking along the train tracks. A friend she'd been staying with drove by and said she had
So the road's right there, bro. She just happened to wanted to be on the more gravelly, difficult path.
So get this. A friend she'd been staying with drove by and said she had locked their house. So this friend said, hey, Kaylee, I locked the house. I guess it's sort of a, hey, just so you know.
If you don't have your keys.
If you don't have a key. I think is what this article is saying.
I don't know.
That's an odd sentence. A friend she had been staying with drove by and said she had locked their house. Too many pronouns, pal, as Jim Cornette would say. I think that's what it is, though.
The other version is that, hey, you locked the house and I don't have keys to get in.
I guess that's the other version.
But you're driving a car. Your house keys would be in your car keys.
The Doppler effect is in full effect.
Yeah, maybe a train's going by. They couldn't hear.
Muthart says being locked out of her home somehow translated to, quote, my sacrifice is the key to saving the world.
Okay, that's so a leap.
She was on a large dose of meth. I remember thinking that someone had to sacrifice something important to right the world, and that person was me. She tells the outlet. I got on my hands and knees, pounding the ground and praying, why me? Why do I have to do this?
Do you think that was how long after the person drove away? Well, like, is it in their rear view being like, what the fuck are they getting all upset about?
I don't know. This person really, I blame the person who just drove by and shouted at Kaylee and said, you locked the house.
I think they were trying to do them a favor.
You locked the house.
But if they live together, they know they do meth. So they weren't doing any favors in the like, hey, stop doing meth.
Right.
Department.
I'm just going to give you one more thing to worry about now that you're on a heroic dose of meth.
Also, why does she not have keys? Is it because she kept selling their keys to buy more meth? And it was like, I can't keep making you these keys if you're going to sell them to people who keep robbing us.
Muthart explains that at that moment, the drugs numbed her to the pain, but I, quote, pushed my thumb, pointer, and middle finger into each eye. I gripped each eyeball. Listener, Ed is trying this. He's trying
I just wanted to see which fingers she was talking
He's
about.
He's looking at the configuration of fingers. You can do this at home.
Fingers you would pick up anything with.
Sure. I pushed my thumb, pointer, and middle finger into each eye. I gripped each eyeball, twisted and pulled until each eye popped out of the socket. It felt like a massive struggle, the hardest thing I ever had to do.
Oh, yeah. Who knew eyes didn't want to be out?
She said the church pastor found her screaming, quote, I want to see the light. A fucking folk horror tale. This is something that was cut from season one of True Detective.
Yeah, and I was about to say, I don't know how to break it to this person. It's the opposite. You don't see the light by removing.
You see absolutely nothing.
Pulling out these cones and rods, girl.
He later said when he found me that I was holding my eyeballs in my hands. I had squished them, although they were somehow still attached to my head. Well, that would be your...
That's like the brain
your
stalk.
Nerve, your what's it called?
Eyeball nerves. The stalk.
She was rushed to the hospital where it took 7 people to hold her down. How much meth did this girl do?
It's her last day before the rehab dose, so Herculean.
This is a crazy amount of meth. This girl does not look like a large person.
Yeah,
She's not looking at
it, but I think meth gives you wings. Or is that Red Bull?
It's Red Bull gives you wings. Meth gives you Hulk strength. 7 people had to hold her down. Fearing infection, doctors performed emergency surgery to remove what was left in her eye sockets. Quote, activities I used to enjoy, like playing guitar and learning piano, are ellipses harder now that I'm blind.
Yeah, but not impossible. We got all these famous blind pianists.
A number of them.
Like, honestly, too
many.
Ray
Charles.
Yeah.
Little Richard.
He's got eyes. Little Richard has eyes.
Well, who's the more modern blind?
There's Ray Charles.
I thought it was Little Richard went blind.
If he went blind, it was after he had sight.
Can we have we need a producer to look this up here. Hold on. Producer, look this
up. Type in blind piano players. Oh, fuck it. Stevie Wonder is probably who you're thinking
of. Stevie Wonder.
Yeah.
That's who I'm thinking of. We've got 10 of the greatest and most famous blind piano players. Number one, Stevie Wonder. That's who I'm thinking of, not Little Richard. Ray Charles is number two. George Shearing. So number three, immediately, you've never heard
Never heard of in our lives, yeah.
He was born to a London coal miner in 1919. So a big glow up there. Art Tatum, never heard
of him.
Arguably one of America's greatest piano virtuosos of all time. Famously, Fats Waller, a man you have probably heard of,
yeah,
said of Tatum as he entered a club, quote, "I only play the piano, but tonight God is in the house."
Okay.
So damn. Number five, Marcus Roberts.
Never heard of. So really, there's nobody we've heard
Number
of.
Number six, Ronnie Millsap.
Never heard of him.
White guy. Heard of Ronnie Millsap.
Was he in a band? Seems like
he
a band guy.
He was encouraged by Ray Charles to make a career of his piano playing. Instead of accepting a law college scholarship, so this guy was already doing wonders without sight.
Sure.
He took a job as a keyboardist for J.J. Cale, moving from Atlanta to Memphis, where Elvis Presley dubbed him Thunder on the Keys Mislap. Number seven, Nobuyuki Tsuji.
He's a Japanese fella?
Japanese fella. Began playing piano by ear when he was two, and by the time he was seven, he started reading Braille music.
You said he was playing by ear? Yeah, no fucking shit. He wasn't playing by sight.
Yeah. Number eight, Lenny Tristano. Never heard of him.
Yeah.
Also, seems like maybe not fully blind, this guy.
Ah, oh, it's fucking... You were not even to 10, and we're already getting guys who can kind of see.
Number nine, Kua O.
Just make it the top five.
Number 10, Diane Schur.
Oh, lady got in.
Lastly, we have Diane Schur, who shares her partial sight condition.
Oh, geez.
With fellow famous blind pianist Stevie Wonder.
Wait, so he's a partial blind Stevie Wonder?
Apparently.
Fuck, man, they're keeping shit from us.
Dude, the lamestream media is not telling you the full story.
I just assumed he was full-blown blind.
Well, look, let me tell you what, Kaylee. They're harder, these activities you used to enjoy, but it does seem like there's plenty of people who have learned to play the piano.
What year was this that she decided to pull out these, probably the most important thing you got?
This would have been...
Well, that's what I was saying. Communicating is more important. Maybe like
2024. Tongue. So this just happened.
Wow. You're pulling out eyes in 2024.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? We have more now than ever before in terms of like therapy, like eyeball, you know, blind stuff, deaf person stuff. She did it in 1964.
No, that's true. There's lots of opportunities to learn. She shares that she tries to remain positive in the wake of her injuries. Quote, "When I sub my toe or my knee, I think, well, it probably saved me from walking into a wall and hitting my face."
That's pretty positive.
That's pretty positive.
I could think of two things that could have helped more. And sounds like you squeezed them at the side of a train track.
She now wears prosthetic eyeballs, saying, "I just wanted to appear more normal to the outside world." God damn, that's harsh.
Yeah.
Hard pill to swallow. "Of course, there are times when I get really upset about my situation, particularly on nights when I can't fall asleep. But truthfully, I'm happier now than I was before all this happened. I'd rather be blind than dependent on drugs."
That's true. You can hide drugs from her a lot easier. I would imagine it makes getting off drugs easier if you can't find them. And I realize I'm coming across as pretty harsh this whole episode, but...
Not as harsh as the number one comment on this People article from Cynthia Sue. She probably gets disability.
Oh, my God.
Brutal. Fucking brutal. These are the kinds of people, yeah, reading People magazine. Not, my God, what a tragedy. My God, how does she persevere despite having no eyes? She probably gets disability.
Wow, in that case, I'm fine. Because that person used their full name.
Shit.
And said that gross shit. So I do feel a little like these, we have a bit of fun on the bonus episodes and it's going to bite us in the ass at some point. But I kind of wish this was not 17 days ago this happened. Now I feel like a real piece of shit that I've been pretty callous about the whole situation.
Some of the other comments here, nobody laces a joint with meth.
Mm. That's a Chris Glory. Did you write that?
No, I didn't. Someone named Justin, who is not me, wrote that. But I agree. Although somebody replied to Justin, "Not true, LOL."
Okay, sure.
Then a lot of other people sharing their sobriety stories.
Okay. Any of them flash evolve?
No, none of them flash. Nobody in these comments being like, "I was a meth addict for 15 years. Boy, am I glad. Yeah. I'm now smarter than all of you."
Ever since I ripped my eyes out, the stares I get from moms and their daughters.
Yeah.
If anyone doesn't know what I'm talking about, go back and listen to the meth episode. Yeah. You want to hear a meth story that I received? Which Please. Is not nearly as fun as this?
Well, this is considered the fun meth story for this bonus episode. We're going down a rabbit hole. But yeah, hit me with it. What do
I don't
we got?
Think we should be having fun with any of this, but you know what? We can't help ourselves. We need to have a good time.
The world's a dark place.
It's a dark
man.
Place. It's darker for her, for sure.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry.
Woo, that's the clip. Let's put that out there on Instagram.
Yeah, that's the last day our show
TikTok.
Exists. All right. So I got a friend who listened to the episode and texted me. I don't know.
Listen to the meth episode, not this episode.
No one's listened to this episode. This person listened to the meth episode and reached out and said, I didn't finish the episode yet, which we talk about this all the time. People do this more often than I would have ever expected, where they like aren't even done and decide to email us or text us or whatever. It says that they have not even finished the episode, but their ears perked up when meth in Japan came up.
Okay.
Because a boy, this is their quote, came up because boy was my upstairs neighbor ever a huge meth head. Wow. And then I wrote back, you know, oh, wild. And so then they wrote back. So then their story continues. And this is actually, I'm cold reading this. So hopefully
Please.
They don't say anything fucked up. Yeah, if you Google drugs that make you scream, really meth is the only result that comes up page after page. Like, not yelling, mind you, screaming like you would if you were hit by a car. Shortly after he moved in, which was also shortly after I moved in, he thought my apartment was his at 4 a.m. I was up late working and heard him yelling from down the road. Double checked my door was locked, thank God, because it wasn't. And then to my surprise, the screaming made it all the way to my door. And he started pounding on it and yelling, words now, was in parentheses. So I guess it just started yelling
screaming,
words now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't want to deal with the police because my Japanese still sucked. So I just like... I like the like in there. So I just like hid with the lights off with a knife. Eventually the banging stopped and I looked out the peep. Oh fuck, I hit the wrong button. Eventually the banging stopped and I looked out the peephole and looked like, I think they keep forgetting they're texting, so they keep forgetting to write he. So I looked out the peephole and he looked like he forgot a bag but had left. So he left a bag. Jesus Christ. That seems like a, that's so terrifying.
But wait, he didn't actually forget a bag. She's saying it looked like he forgot a bag.
What does that mean though?
Like, I assume it meant that he, like, looked, like, crazy disheveled or something.
It says, eventually the banging stopped, and I looked out the peephole and looked like, which probably means it looked like, he forgot a bag but had left.
Yeah, like, he's coming back looking all crazy, like he should have left with a bag.
Oh, got you. Yeah, maybe. But now this moves into all caps in the
okay,
text.
Okay, all caps. So
but
we're
then,
screaming this.
Now she's become the meth head. But then, like, an hour later, it started again. End of the all caps. I think the peephole just distorts size so much that the bag, quote unquote, was him. Oh, now this is making more sense. So much so that the bag, quote unquote, was him passed out on the ground. Finally, I gave in and called the cops. They came and were like, LOL, he lives upstairs. He's drunk and we got him home. They did not care at all.
But wait, where is the? If they said he was drunk, where is this meth coming from?
I don't know yet. I'm going to keep reading.
Okay.
He screamed coming home in the middle of the night the whole 2 years, but only tried to break down my door once.
That's good.
So yeah, I don't know. That's a cold read of a text that we received, you know, however long ago that episode was.
So it's possible that he was screaming drunk.
But she said if you Google meth,
I did just Google drugs that make you scream.
Yeah.
And stimulant drugs like cocaine, methamphetamines comes up, bath salts or spice, and then dopaminergic medications such as apomorphine, bromocriptine, premixpil.
Those are all probably new. This was years ago she lived in Japan, so maybe back then when you Googled it, it was the only thing that came up.
Maybe. I mean,
I'm sure she typed in, what would make my neighbor scream all night and then transform into a bag?
I think that was her misidentification the bag element. But yeah, I mean, it sounds like it could have been meth. I think some people get drunk and scream too, but
every night for 2 years?
That does seem excessive.
Or like a lot?
That does seem excessive.
I don't know if it was
excessive.
Every night. I put the phone down now, but
that does seem excessive.
So those are two listener submitted meth stories. Well, one person just had heard of a more intense meth story and then said you're an idiot for not knowing it, and then this is anecdotal evidence.
Anecdotal meth screaming.
Yeah. There's a lot of screamers in my neighborhood. I don't know about your neighborhood, but we got people who come by here who are howling at night.
Yeah, I have a story I'll tell on the other podcast sometime, probably the main feed.
I guess, does it bother you? It doesn't bother me. It's like, it's weird. It's weird to think about, because if I was in Connecticut and I heard that, I'd be like, is it an asteroid coming? Like, what is, but in LA, it's like, people are screaming again and like dragging our trash cans around.
Yeah, I had a very intense thing happen to me in my first apartment.
You want to save that?
It wasn't the guy living under my apartment, different guy.
Sure.
But I want to save it, I guess, because as in the case of the people that you hear howling, and many people I've heard howling, we don't know what they're on.
Yeah, but...
or if they're on anything, or they're just severely mentally ill and wandering down the street howling.
I can name like three things that are bad for you. Drugs and alcohol, I'm saying.
What are the three things that Ed says are bad for you?
I didn't get to the end of the sentence. Okay. I'm saying like I could name three drugs, alcohol, whatever. Things that like you shouldn't necessarily do that I've done to excess and that have never led to
screaming. I've never done anything bad.
I've never done anything. I can probably count more than that, but I'm saying the things that I've like really pushed it to the limit, I still don't end up fucking screaming and banging on a neighbor's door.
And if you want to know those three things, you'll have to sign up for the $25.
No, it's not going out. The buttons will not include all my vices.
I have done things, but never to the, I've never done anything to the level of screaming.
All I'm getting at is that of every illicit thing I've put in my body, it's never led to a psychosis, most certainly not for 2 calendar years, you know, where I'm like, but these people outside, I mean, they are screaming in a way, here I'm saying, are screaming in a way that's, they're dancing like no one's watching. Like, this is not, there is zero.
But in reality, everybody who walks by is definitely watching.
Yeah. But I'm saying, like, they don't seem like they're in their own world entirely.
Yes.
And that's that psychosis.
That may be some of the meth psychosis that we talked about in the episode, that the cases of this are skyrocketing because the meth is getting stronger and more dangerous.
It's just like, where... drug dealer, we talk about it in other episodes too, but drug dealer is the craziest job where it's like, I don't know, best of luck. Like, they don't, even when they're helpful, as in like the LSD episode where it's like, don't take more than 3 drops or whatever, they're still like, but if they do, fuck it. They give me their money.
Yeah, but you know,
because people are selling them this meth.
Look, I'm not going to publicly defend drug dealers on our podcast.
He does it privately almost daily.
But I will say there are a lot of things in our world that are sold to you that the person should feel bad for selling to you. Like, just yesterday I got the AC on my car fixed, and I don't
think... that's an expensive venture.
It is expensive, and I don't know that it had to really be fixed, but the guy definitely sold me a 4-digit bill of goods to fix my AC and didn't say, hey, you know, maybe your AC is actually fine and it's just XYZ here.
AC is one of those things where it's like, I'm getting a new car. Like, yeah, it's because it's same thing when I'm buying a fucking new Heap. I'm like, does the AC work? And I don't mean like, oh, it's recently been whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, like, does it fucking work?
And I'm not saying this guy is on the societal level of bad as a drug dealer, but it's the kind of thing where if not me, there's definitely plenty of people that guy has sold a very expensive air conditioning system to that he didn't really need to.
Bro, our fucking person, and I don't know if I have to bleep anything here, her dad, she was describing him to me, and I'm probably gonna have to bleep out some of this stuff.
Uh-huh.
She was describing him to me, and it was verbatim Danny DeVito's character in Matilda. Like, that level of used car salesman where it's like, I'm putting gum to hold the bumper on, knowing there's like sawdust in the like the gas tank.
Yeah. Anyone who ever sold anyone else an NFT against the wall with the drug dealers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a lot of ways to ruin society. And
there's a lot of things that I've seen where I wish I had, you know, had my eyes ripped out. But I do think Don't take drugs where you'll actually do it.
That's actually the last episode of this podcast. It's just going to be Ed and I ripping each other's eyeballs out, going insane.
It doesn't
insane.
Stop people from hearing the podcast.
That's true.
We rip our, here's the
podcast blind. Who gives a fuck?
But if
they don't know.
If you rip your ears off, you still hear, right?
Probably not as well, because the ear is helping to guide the sound into your ear canal.
Oh, is it?
That's the whole, the ear is designed to help capture sounds and funnel them into your ear canal. If you rip the fleshy part of your ear off,
yeah,
your ear canal still is going to work, but your hearing is going to be fucked up.
Okay. I guess if lesser of two evils, though.
For sure. If it's between ripping your ears off and ripping your eyes out, I'd definitely rip your ears off.
I just wish...
I hear Scott from Astonishing Legends in my head right now being
guys, don't do any of this shit.
Don't do any of this
Don't take drugs. Don't. If you have good eyes, don't rip them out. If you have good ears, don't rip them off.
Yeah.
You'd think it's obvious. But we're just we're spitballing. We just went for 20 minutes pretty insensitively talking about a person who 40 minutes ago, presumably, ripped their eyes out. So who are we to listen to? But don't do any of these things. I do wish that if your meth psychosis is going to give you the charge of saving the world, I do wish that it would have also been like one eye will do.
Yeah.
You know?
But a meth psychosis is never going to go for the simple option.
Yeah.
It's always going to go. It reminds me a little bit of a Twilight Zone episode that I don't think was meth induced.
What, the glasses? Can't read now?
No, the one where
great
the guy,
with Mickey?
He's on death row and he's telling everybody if they kill him, if they electrocute him, the world will end because the entire world is exists in his mind, like in his dreams.
Oh.
And so he's telling
But does it really because it's Twilight Zone or he just thinks that?
I don't remember how it ends, but I remember there's a Twilight Zone episode where he's telling people you can't kill me because it'll end the world.
I'm gonna start using that for everything. You can't fail me in this class. You can't turn off my power.
Yeah.
World will end.
It might.
Will end for me. The world of turning on lights will end for me if I don't pay my bills, for sure.
It's quantum immortality.
Shit.
Or the meth headset.
Is there anything? I guess that's not good. Quantum solace isn't any good either. So only quantum leap is the only thing that starts with quantum that's good.
True. True fact. That's probably the truest fact we've ever said in a bonus episode.
Yes, we should go out with that then. We should go out on top.
We're going out on top. All right, guys. For this week, this has been New Fear Unlocked.
This has been Cancel Chris and Ed.
No,
somehow another week.
No, we're fine. We're doing great. We're reading listener stories, fan-submitted material. It's all allegedly. Well, this actually happened. It's not alleged. It's in People Magazine.
And this person did. The alleged part of the listener story that I read is they allegedly were on meth. That's the only alleged part. It definitely happened to them.
But until next week, keep your eyeballs in your head. Keep your ears on your head.
Keep your body away from meth.
Keep your body and your brain and everything away from meth.
And we will see you when we see you.
We'll see you when you see you.
Fuck, that's insensitive because that lady can't see.
Fuck.
So we'll be back soon.
We'll be back.
All right, bye-bye.
The theme song may say this show has no name, but as you know, it actually has a name. New Fear Unlocked.
The thing you guys always say, that's the name. The name is New Fear Unlocked. But now it's over, so you can turn it off. There's nothing more after this.